There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Strange dreams in a row about the same thing last night.
Oh, yeah?
About being kidnapped by people that don't have any control over me. Tiny Indian men.
Tiny Indian men?
It was tiny Indian men.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you watching Gulliver's Travels before you fell asleep?
Oh, no. I was, if I remember, I had fallen asleep in the lobby of a 7-Eleven.
So they were just trying to get you out of the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, please go. And I'm just like, this is my home.
Right. Everywhere there's a slushy, there will be I.
You said I get free refills and I'm not done.
You didn't buy one in the, you didn't buy any soda. So you're just stealing the soda.
Well, forgive me to be forgiven. And I didn't know that that was a circumstance of the contract I was supposed to sign.
Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kitzel. It's 2014, and we're joined by Thief. Who is he? He's Baby New Year. That's great. Half aborted Baby New Year. Can't you believe it? The abortion didn't stick. Unbelievable. And how do you feel, half aborted Baby New Year? Your mother didn't win. You fought your way out of that disgusting cavernous pussy, and you're here to save America. Well, isn't he adorable with all the phlegm and the blood there?
2014's gonna be a good year.
It's gotta be better than the last one. No doubt about
that.
Holy
shit.
Well, we are gonna continue on discussing. We're back,
and, yeah.
And you know, honestly, we missed you. 1 week off is too many weeks off.
Mm-hmm. Christmas fucking blows.
Christmas
and
is awful.
I understand maybe you like Christmas. But guess what? Yeah, sure. I guess a lot of people, you know, it's like when you have a toothache and you stick your tongue deep in your own cavity.
And it
like,
hurts. Oh, yeah.
I guess that's why you like Christmas.
It's like when you have your third burrito in a row and you're like, oh, my tummy hurts,
Christmas,
but you have to have it.
Is a diarrhea fucking milkshake. I hate that fucking holiday. I'm glad it's over. Fuck Jesus Christ. Fuck his fucking birthday. Hail Satan.
Well, let's not judge people who might enjoy a nice diarrhea milkshake, though. We're open-minded here. If you're into the diarrhea milkshake,
oh, it's so good to be
you.
Back. I hate December. Everyone's just all like, yep. Oh, Jesus. Oh, presents. Yeah, you gotta help people.
I think they focus more on the presents.
Yeah,
they do.
That's why
absolutely.
Christmas is such bullshit.
People are fucking animals during Christmas.
But speaking of bizarre fetishes, such as a diarrhea milkshake, if someone likes to slam one of those down. Part two, John Wayne Gacy. Is there...
Wait a second, I hear something off in the distance.
Oh, my. Dad?
Is that a flute?
Pointy shoes?
A man is emerging through the mist.
Hmm. A thin man?
No. He is round as a stack of marshmallows.
Oh, my.
Pointed hat.
Who is he, Henry?
I can't see yet.
Henry.
Wow.
Aren't we a pair?
I see
this
him now too.
Longer than I thought.
Yeah.
She's doing this slow.
Slow.
She's
singing.
Eating up attention. This is Babs, right?
Yeah, this is Babs.
Miss Streisand.
Wait for it.
Send in the clown.
John Wayne Gacy's back.
Introed by Barbara Streisand. Well, the world is complete. 2014 has already beat any other year in the history of the world.
So, as you may recall from our previous entry into the John Wayne Gacy part of last podcast on the left, we ended with John Wayne Gacy popping his chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, popping his old killer cherry. It was quite a cliffhanger.
Absolutely. I guess the big surprise was it says turn to page 58. It was like, and then he wrestles the boy, turn to page 58. Goes back
58
to,
of
then,
your book that you're, the John Wayne Gacy book,
you
written by,
to,
what's the name of the lawyer again?
Yeah, Sam Amirante.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cut to the, it's choose your own adventure, you get to that, you choose your one adventure, and, he came his pants. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, you're trying to, that was just a long way
I
to say
I was trying
John
to say
Wayne.
He came his pants.
Yeah, well, what he actually, what Gacy said following the first murder, this is in an interview after his arrest, back before he was saying that other people had committed the murders, he said, when it was all over, I looked down at the pants he'd worn to bed. They were covered with blood. But with something else, too.
Mm.
during the struggle, I had experienced a powerful Nutella. Sexual release.
Yeah.
That's when I realized that death was the ultimate thrill.
So it sounds like he... That is an... Death, the ultimate thrill.
Yeah.
It sounds like he didn't realize that he ejaculated.
Can you imagine...
Can you secretly come?
I imagine you're. It's more like you're stabbing, going, but you don't realize how hard you are, and then it's just shooting out of you in ropes, right?
Right.
That's how I imagine it always. Like when BTK came over that little boy, I always imagined him just going like, oh, and like just shooting fucking spider webs all over.
Yeah, like a little silly string can that never runs out.
Yeah, yeah.
With the
yeah.
miracle of the silly string. I remember that Halloween forever.
I can't believe you got this ammonia scented fucking silly string for my 7th grade birthday.
Just
you
keep on huffing it, okay?
Gacy said when the guy first cut his arm.
I'm so hungover, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We all are, right? This is New Year's Day. But Gacy said when the kid first cut his arm, because he got into a bit of a struggle with him.
Oh, the kid didn't want to get raped and murdered?
No. He did not.
He didn't want it.
He did not.
Well, he woke.
Typical rebellious
what was his,
youth.
What was his name again?
His name was...
He had a good
Jack,
dead boy name.
Jack McCoy.
This is what I'm saying.
And John Wayne Gacy referred to him as the Greyhound bus boy.
Ugh. That is disgusting.
Because he had picked him up from a Greyhound bus. The Jack actual McCoy. Scenario was Gacy right. was at a New Year's Eve party with his wife. He got wasted. He got bored. He ran over to the Greyhound bus station. He picked up this kid, Jack McCoy. He was on a sightseeing tour of Chicago.
You can only see him, like, you know, all right. tan, that like half open 70 shirt. You see his collarbone. He's like, gee, mister, I don't know. I'm only 15, but yeah. I guess I can go with you. You look respectable. You say you're a cop?
Well, I told you I was drunk anyway. So that's worth something. In Chicago. So, I mean, what could they have possibly done at this New Year's Eve party that wasn't going to bore John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah.
I mean, the man just wanted to go rape and murder a kid. So you could have had strippers. You could have had midgets. You could have had the Wolf of Wall Street scene where they're throwing little people against a dartboard.
Well, and I bet like, he had already burned through a chunk of the dips.
Right. As yeah. Well, thank God John left. There's still a little guacamole I might be able to get on my chip.
Well, when the kid, and so they fuck, they go home, they probably just have a blowjob, something like that. The kid
yeah,
wakes up the next day.
They just have a blowjob. Like it's a cup of tea.
Let's go have a blowjob.
Yeah. All right, how do you like it? One lump or two? Yeah.
So Gacy wakes up the next morning. He said that the kid stayed in the other room. You ask where was his wife? His wife stayed at the house of the people who were having the New Year's Eve party.
Being a real bitch.
Real bitch. Was wasted.
I mean, just being awful. And the kid shows up at the door with a knife in his hand. Gacy freaks out immediately. He tries grabbing the knife from the kid. The kid slices him on the arm. Gacy said that he, quote, felt a surge of power from my toes to my brain.
Yeah. Whoa.
And he grabbed the knife from the kid, sat on his chest, and just stabbed him in the chest over and over again. And that is when he went to the kitchen and saw a couple of eggs cooking and
bacon.
Sliced side of bacon.
That's
and he
right.
realized that the kid was just making him breakfast.
He was the right. best prostitute in the tri-state area. Can you imagine you were a prostitute? Not only did you blow a 50-year-old man, but then you made him fucking breakfast?
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Above and beyond.
No, Gacy was only 30.
What?
Yeah, when this happened, Gacy was 30 years
old. He's always kind of had the look of a 50-year-old.
That's the thing.
And it's just like, this woman, was this dude like a former like bellhop at the plaza?
Yeah.
Like, does he just know how to take care of the customer?
I mean, did the kid tell him? I was just trying to make you bacon and eggs. Nah, I've heard that before, kid.
I'm making breakfast. Yeah, I'm making fucking breakfast, too. I'm making raspberry jam, you bitch.
Yeah, you're the jam. My nuts are the raspberries.
And Jack McCoy, he was the first kid to go into the crawl space.
So, which, you know, there's got to be a first for everything. He's a real pioneer, a real Jackie Robinson of the crawl space.
Yep.
So this party, what we learned from this New Year's Eve party at this point is John Wayne Gacy left halfway through because he was drunk, bored, and ate all the food. And then his wife got so wasted she had to stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as she was staying overnight, he murdered a kid.
Yeah. This is great.
We shouldn't have the Gacy's over for New Year's Eve anymore.
Have you ever thought about that? John Wayne Gacy's very first murder happened 42 years ago today.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's a jolly good fellow. A jolly good fellow. Is that appropriate?
No.
I don't know sometimes.
Again, murdered the boy and put it with the crawl space there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have our first kill. John Wayne Gacy is officially losing his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's just discovered. This is exactly what we talk about. This is the ultimate deadly mistake. This is him finally tying murder to his sexual impulse.
Right, right.
And it's going to be the only way he gets off from here on out. Can you imagine? Cause that's a part of it, too. Because I bet he's I bet they're in during the mixture of all of these, which is kind of crazy. When you go through the Wikipedia page of his murders, it is so long because you forget it's fucking 33 separate ones.
Right.
And they have all the bodies. It's not just a bunch of no names.
Only 25 were identified.
I mean, then there's the countless other ones that could have happened. Never mind probably the countless other rapes, the countless other sexual assaults. And I bet there's probably a couple in there of him just trying to get a blowjob. Like, literally just being like, I got this kid from the Greyhound. I'd love for him to just play with my nuts for an afternoon, and hopefully that gets me off.
Right.
But I bet by that point, it doesn't even make you cum anymore.
It is a pretty bad Uzi surprise when you realize murdering a child makes you cum. I would not be thrilled with that new information.
Mm-hmm.
I would much prefer to feel really bad about myself.
I don't want anything besides just having sex with a normal human make me cum. I'd be upset if, like, filling a car with gas made me cum. You know, if I stuck my fucking pipe into the goddamn gas hole. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds really erotic.
I'm starting shooting all over my pants. Now, I can't just go to the fucking gas station anymore.
Right.
Because every time I go to the gas station, I'm hard as a Christmas fucking angel on top of a tree.
Right, right, right. Well, I don't know what kind of family you grew up with, but our angel was always very soft.
What? It didn't have a big, like,
flaccid. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
See, I have an angel atop my tree that has giant leather, like, bat wings. They came from real leather bat wings. And it's got one of those, like, weird, like, druidic, like, sharp, like, erections on the front of it.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting.
My dad sucks it. Is that weird?
No.
Real weird.
That is, everyone has a different Christmas tradition.
We're Polish.
Yeah. That's a Polish thing. Yes.
So 4 months after this, John Wayne Gacy, he goes out, he finds a kid, he tells him, hey, I'm a cop, get into the car. Mm-hmm. He handcuffs him, and they talk for a little bit, and Gacy said, what's it worth to you to get out of this? And the kid says, I don't have any money, you know, I can't do anything. And he said, would you suck my dick?
Absolutely.
That's when Gacy takes the boy to the restaurant where the boy worked at like 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. The kid had keys, forced himself in. They were in the bathroom. He was still handcuffed. Gacy punched the fucking kid in the head over and over again, but the kid managed to escape. He ran down the road. Gacy bumped him with his car, and then this happens every once in a while. He just lost interest, and the kid got away.
His hard on went down, and the fantasy is broken.
Yeah.
Because he's so deeply involved in his fantasy of like he's a cop, that all this is real, that it's hard boiled like graphic novel sex fantasies.
Yeah. And at some point, the kid doesn't respect him. He punched him multiple times in the face, and he couldn't knock him out, so he felt like a bitch.
Yeah, but that kid went on to make How to Make a Deal for NBC.
Which is a fantastic
reality show.
Because
they were talking about, you know, you pick and choose what you have to do. It's about negotiation.
And at some point when you're driving down the highway, the kid's outside of the car. He's fat. He's tired. It's probably 4:30 in the morning at this point.
Absolutely. He's hammered.
Yeah, fuck it.
You know?
Always drunk.
Yeah, what does he give a shit? Yeah, he's just like, well, I guess I'll go drink some more and stick my dick inside this.
I'm running out of gas. Better go breathe in the gas tank a little bit.
Just go down and look in a crawl space for a little bit at a couple of dead naked boys. You're fine. You'll get a fix.
And if you ask, okay, so this boy got away. He wasn't actually murdered. You know, why wasn't Gacy put away for this? The kid did go to the cops.
May I ask?
Huh?
Why wasn't Gacy put away for this?
The kid went to the cops, but for some reason at the time, the court system so overworked that Gacy slipped through the cracks and he was let off with a warning.
The irony.
What do you mean a warning?
A warning.
How do you warn somebody?
Don't rape and kill any more kids, John.
It's just because you're getting it all the time. He was already arrested for sodomy in another state. There are countless other kids, which we're going to go through, that he raped and then got away.
Yeah, well, at that time, the states didn't really communicate with each other because he had been charged with another assault just a few months after he got out of prison. But because the two states didn't communicate with each other, they didn't have a VICAP system at that time.
There was a time in America where state lines actually meant something.
Yeah.
Like, you literally could rob a bank in Illinois and drive over to Chicago and just flip off the officers as soon as you cross the state line. You'd be like, well, can't touch them.
Yeah.
Different times.
What actually happened in court is that the charge was reduced to the status of stricken on leave to reinstate. This meant that Gacy had been issued with a warning, and that if he were brought in front of the courts again, the charge would be reinstated.
And then it makes you wonder wonder why people believe in the conspiracy theories that our government like actively participates in gigantic like pedophile rings. Like,
right,
it's
right.
Like, totally true, because it's like you're covering all these dudes. You keep covering them. You cover the priests. You let the priests get away. It drives me nuts.
Well, the Catholic Church is a whole other situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, there's a bunch of pedophile rings, and those have been proven right with the federal government. Although I don't know if John Wayne Gacy was really allowed into the club.
So let's go into the stats. Let's get into these big time stats.
Do you think that when John Wayne Gacy killed the kids, he put them in the crawl space? Did he ever go down? Do we know? Did he go down and post mortem ejaculate?
I think that he did not do any of that.
So
I think
different
than
a Bundy.
It was once the process. He was a process guy, not a product guy.
Yeah, he's what you call a power control killer.
Yeah,
like he was the type of guy. He's a lot like Bundy, in which he's very calculating. He's very intelligent.
He was more like BTK too. Like he's closer to BTK.
He does seem like he seems like a mix of the two in a lot of ways.
He just didn't really play with the bodies.
What a lot of power control killers have, it's kind of two different place or two different categories, which is where Bundy and Gacy kind of diverge. And that Gacy, a lot of power control killers, they keep the bodies of their victims either in their house or in a safe place. So Gacy, what he would do is that he would keep the bodies usually under his bed for 24 hours or more, either in the bed or in his closet,
it
like he did with the second victim.
About it.
Or he would bury it underneath the house where he's Ted Bundy. Would go out. He had his little special place out in the mountains.
Right. Which he'd have his playground where he'd go out and be like, oh, la 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 la, like
play,
and they're all like having a tea party and all singing about how he should kiss the girl. You know, like Little
Just
Mermaid
kiss,
over there.
Yeah, exactly.
So his second kill was 2 years after that last. He waited 2 years before killing another
person.
Which
is, again, a first instinct of a serial killer, like doing is the cooling off period. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. He is getting right into it.
Right.
Yeah. But at this time, he still does live with his wife. And that's what that's another question you might be asking, is that him and his wife didn't get divorced until 1976.
Can I ask agreed it? To not have sex anymore.
Well, I'll get to all that.
Sure.
Yeah. So they got divorced in 1976, and by that time, Gacy had only killed...
you fucking idiot, Marcus. Yeah, this guy got this. He's fucking enough. Confusing John Wayne Gacy with Ted Bundy. You fucking idiot. You fucking moron. Bundy would go and fuck the victims after they were dead, Marcus. You fucking idiot. Come on.
So at this time, he had only killed 3 kids before him and his wife got divorced. But during this whole time, he was fucking his employees. He was fucking the kids. He was a contractor.
Right,
he was bringing his wife said that he would come home late at night with the headlights off in his car, and he would go straight into the garage, which his wife was not allowed into. However, one night she did get a key to the garage, and when she went in there, she found that there were mattresses on the floor, red lights plugged into the walls,
hell yeah,
mirrors on the ceiling,
cool,
and she could smell a sweet, sickly odor coming from underneath the house. And the reason why that was because John Wayne Gacy's third victim he murdered and buried in the garage.
Well, he identifies later on by spraying the body form onto the pavement of the garage of how the body was laying underneath.
If you're John Wayne Gacy, though, you could easily just cover that up. I mean, what was this, the 60s, the 70s?
70s, you know? 1975.
The 70s, so he's just like, I mean, I don't even know, the reference is 10 years beyond that, but Nikki Six from Motley Crue.
Yeah.
You know, he's just living a rock and roll lifestyle.
I'd be different if he... I feel like you kind of have to balance that sex room where it's like, it's got to be a sex room and then have, like, a gigantic Pez collection in there.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
I don't want anyone to go in there and mess up the order of my Pez collection.
And when you open up the Donald Duck Pez, the entire room switches around into the sex dungeon. That would be... ladies, if you are dating a man and you are not allowed into a wing of the house or a room of the house...
He is murdering leagues of humans.
Bunches and bunches.
Absolutely. You were saying Ariel Castro, same thing, at a whole back room.
That's
they're
right.
Like, no, you're going to go in.
But it's part of the house that we're in. Why can't I just go into that?
No, back room. You go in back room. I tell you to deposit the dummy.
What changes?
Back there.
What
you
changes?
Don't go back there. No room for you. No
there's
room.
There's no room, but there's a same. It's pretty much a
no
mirror
room
to this
you.
Room.
You keep talking. I tell you dog leash to poly.
Well, you know what? I'm suspicious, but it's going to be another 9 years before I say anything to the cops. So that's fine.
Oh, Henry, you were saying that him and his wife had agreed not to have sex anymore.
Yeah.
The expanded truth of that is much, much more fucked up.
Oh, I can't imagine. It's not like they're not doing a fucking, don't know what a
it
good
wasn't
couple
a, it
is
wasn't
anymore.
A, it wasn't a Denny's morning breakfast where there's like, let's just agree not to have sex anymore. Yeah. Okay, John.
He would allow.
What's his wife's name, by the way?
Carol.
Carol. Okay.
Yeah. So
I have an Aunt Carol.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And an uncle.
Kevin, who is the same house that I was talking about. Interesting.
All right.
Very interesting. Yeah. So Gacy would lounge around their bedroom completely naked, just masturbating to gay porno mags right
hell
in front
yeah.
of her.
Why not? You know?
She would find semen-stained silk male underwear, like little bikinis. She found some behind her bedroom dresser, others under her bed. They would be out at a bar, and Gacy, he would comment on, quote, a guy's tight ass. And
nice
he would openly
ass.
Describe the type of thing, the type of young man that would turn him on.
I mean, this is my question. It's like, why does he keep denying he's gay then?
Right.
Well, he's not denying he's gay. He's saying he's bisexual.
No, but then he says he's no fag. He's no fruit picker.
Well, of course, because if you still have sex with women, then...
But he wasn't having sex with women.
But he was married to a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, in the eyes of the law...
Are you trying to find logic in John Wayne Gacy's explanations?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
It's almost like he's a lying manipulative sociopath.
You know what?
I want to see the conversation where Carol fully realizes that she's married to a madman when she's like, I know, Becky, your husband's always leaving the socks around. John is always jacking off to gay porn in the bedroom. You guys, you girls know what I'm saying? And we're just like, no, Carol. No.
Oh, you know, you never went into his red light room where he's got the mirror ceiling and he's got all the boys in there?
So you're allowed in the garage, too, of your house?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's where we keep our car. What do you keep in the garage?
I don't know, but there's always a chainsaw sound thing going on in there, so I just figure he's trying to make some tables or something like that. You know, he's always been a kind of a handsman, a woodsman.
You know what the final argument was that caused them to have a divorce?
Hmm. What?
They were arguing over the checkbook.
Ah, this is the problem.
Finances. Always gets
women.
In the way.
Women.
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 Always with the money.
That's why I can't fucking tourniquet, rape, and murder these fucking women.
God damn it. Do you have any idea how expensive duct tape is? Boy.
That's why I was saying the same thing where it's like when you see these little telltale signs of him taking the body, putting under the bed for 24 hours,
right.
and putting it into the crawl space, all of these things are, it's almost... It blatantly symbolic. It is you putting making your bed back again, taking the body, putting it underneath it. It erases the whole thing from your memory. You look at it and be like, nothing ever happened in this room.
Yeah,
and then you take the body, you blank out. You take the body, you dump it into essentially what is symbolically your subconscious. It's like you like the fucking basement of the house. Like if you imagine the house, like is your life. You just took all that fucking bullshit, you buried it in a fucking dirt ass basement, so that you'll never have to think about it again. And it didn't happen.
And that's interesting that you bring that up. So it's where his second half lives.
Where Jack Hanley lives.
And this is similar. Marcus was telling me before the show, his father used to get wasted.
Well, his father used to get wasted and was extremely abusive. Yeah. His father used to get wasted in the basement, and he would talk to himself in two different voices.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, it seems like that's...
And, you know, and it could be...
Yeah, you think John Wayne, you think our son John Wayne is going to be a bit of a queer later on, Leslie? Ooh, I don't know. I hope not. There's nothing I approve more.
You're a little fag, Leslie. You're a little fag, Leslie. Hey, Dad, why is half of your face bloodied and beaten?
I had to beat the gay.
But that is true. But what is that symbolic nature? It's like the tooth fairy. You put your tooth under your pillow. Like, there's a lot of like under situations. Why do you put something underneath a bed or underneath the pillow? Like, where does that come from?
You forget about it. It's all. It's just deeper and deeper and deeper. Each one's a layer deeper. He forgets. Yeah. He can allow himself to forget. As we're gonna
because,
see.
Because I mean, Dahmer kept them all in the bed with him.
Yeah,
Dahmer was up
in his crimes. Like, this is a product killer. This is a guy who wanted the body. So it's like he's here. He's fucking with the body. It's about the body. It's having that type of control.
This is
Gacy living a fantasy to its end. And when the fantasy is played out, it's done.
Done, right.
Yeah, it's not a sadistic thing. It's a control thing. It's a power thing, which of course plays into his relationship with his father because it could be said that Gacy, when he murdered, he was his father. He was that strong,
big,
domineering figure, and he was killing, you know, a fruit picker.
In an ironic kind of way, he's making his daddy proud.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I'm a man now, Dad. I'm a man now, covered in blood.
That's all right. I hear those words coming from Kissel's mouth, and I just see him, he's just covering a fucking spare rib with sriracha.
Oh, and so much mayonnaise. Yeah. Love it.
So him and his wife, they get divorced in 1975. She lives in the house until... they get divorced in October 1975. She lives there until February of 1976. Whoa. She moves out, and as we said with BTK, this is when the ball game explodes.
Yeah.
Right.
This is when his killing spree
because
goes
now
into
it's finally
overdrive.
He got the hall pass from his relationship.
Right.
He's wearing fucking, you know, Hawaiian shirts and like neon sunglasses everywhere, just going being like, hey,
you're
you
just
know,
so bright.
I'm on a bit of a honeymoon with myself, if you know what I'm saying, everybody. You know, it's like he's enjoying himself. He's letting loose.
That's the bizarre thing. I mean, you could make a strong argument that his wife did keep it together. For,
I don't think he kept,
as much
she kept
as together.
No, she did not keep it together.
No,
she
kept him
hanging
from,
on.
Yeah, she kept him from
going
living
nuts.
The life that he wanted to live.
Yeah,
typical woman, another woman
holding a man back.
Unbelievable!
You know? I don't want you to go murder all the boys.
Yeah,
you
well,
would,
I'm
Carol.
Gonna
do it.
Yeah, Carol. I fucking smelled.
And
him
I couldn't
in the
get a hot tub either.
Yeah.
So within a month of his divorce, he abducted and killed an 18-year-old kid named Daryl Sampson. 5 weeks later, he kills Randall Reffitt, a 15-year-old kid. A few hours after he killed that kid, he killed another 14-year-old, Samuel Stapleton. And this is what he would call his doubles
the
nights.
The doubles. Yeah, double nights.
Doubles night.
Yeah,
like
doubles
he's playing
night.
Dice.
And it's very interesting because now it's good. They talk about, too, where, I was watching a doc about Gacy, and they were saying that where it's you watch a serial killer get cavalier over time.
Mm-hmm.
As he kills 10, the first 5, he's super cautious. Mm-hmm. Then he kills 10, and then he kills 15, and it's 20.
Well, it goes back to that Bundy quote where it's like, sometimes you just lose the screwdriver
or whatever.
Yeah. It's like,
you can't remember where you put the wrench.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about his doubles nights is that he would always bury them in the same grave. Every other kid.
Because that's
got,
one scene.
Yeah, it's one scene. Every other kid got one grave. But the doubles always had the same one.
Interesting.
Like they would be buried on top of each other.
And then, but then there's also stories where I was reading afterwards, there is some evidence that he had some conspirators. That there
were people
that he worked with. There were boys that were like 16. There was quotes of them saying something, him saying something that's like, you want me to bury him like I did the other 5?
Mm-hmm.
And that there that he may have used his secret on people in order to, and then they probably just ended up dead.
Well, here's a murder. There was a murder that happened when Gacy was out of town. It was proven.
They said yes.
Yeah, it was proven that Gacy was out of town at the time of the murder. And there, it was said that one of the guys that he worked with, he gave him a signed painting. He gave him a painting after he was in prison, and it was signed, "If you you must reap the field before you enjoy the harvest."
Are you telling me that everyone that works in construction
could be a pervert?
Is that possible?
And not only that, one of John Wayne Gacy's employees went on to become one of the Chicago Rippers.
Really?
Which was a group of... Yeah.
See, this is the thing. Because they were having some naughty fun back there. They had.
Yeah.
There was some consensual stuff happening in that fucking red light room. There was stuff that was happening all in the basement. They were doing stuff together. And then you have one gigantic secret. And then you know your boss is going to tell you, as soon as he includes you on the secret of help me build to bury these bodies, you know for a fact you're going to probably end up one of those bodies unless you help him.
Yeah, you better help him at that point.
You could go to the police, but you've watched him not get caught by the police for fucking a decade.
One of the kids completely admitted to the police that he dug holes in the basement. And he spread quicklime, but that kid didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I think that was David Cram, who was...
David Cram!
McCoy, Samson, Cram. Some good names.
August 21st, after working for Gacy for about a month, Cram moved into Gacy's house. The very next day,
Hey, kid, you want a promotion?
Oh, you want a promotion, kid?
I mean,
he didn't even wait. At least you could have gotten used to the house for a second.
Right.
Well, the very next day.
I would love to see Gacy just in a Febreze commercial. You know that commercial where they have everybody blindfolded and you're like, what does it smell like?
It's like you can't even smell anything at all.
It's just like
those blindfolded people just walking into a crawl space full
like
of dead bodies.
It smells like a botanical garden in here. Well, remove your shades. Botanical gardens like, for Febreze.
You see his pogo. He's just like, he's dressed as pogo. He puts the rope over the neck and like tightens it. Febreze.
And that was the last day I worked in marketing. So,
well, the day after David Cram moves in, Gacy gets him drunk and says, "Hey, you want to see a handcuff trick?"
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Always with the tricks.
However, the kid survived it. He overpowered John Wayne
Gacy.
Because
he was an all-state wrestling champ.
That's right.
Yeah, he, well, no, this kid, he had spent a year in the Army.
Oh, this was the MMA. Yeah, he kicked him in the face. Yeah,
kicked him in the face, freed himself from the handcuffs, and he didn't move out after that.
Can you imagine? This is,
well, he knows he can beat the shit out of him,
but
so.
But this is just how deep, like, the boys being boys game goes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can sit and, like, you've made grab ass so fucking normal to all these dudes. It's like, we don't touch each other when we hang out.
No.
I don't try to grab your balls and touch your penises.
I did take some Molly the other night, and I felt like I got too handsy with Ed, but he's so soft. He's just so, I just wanted
he's
to...
He's like one big tit.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I looked at his face, I was like, that's a beard, but if I just, like, close my eyes, it's a tit. It's a big tit.
But just somehow managed to look at the sides of his head, he has long hair, and maybe it'll be a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, it's like, is it a beautiful woman or an elderly lady? Like that, the illusion picture.
So about a month later, Gacy, he shows up at Cram's bedroom door, and he was definitely intending on raping the kid. And he said, Dave, you really don't know who I am. Maybe it would be good if you just give me what I want.
Woo!
So Gacy tries to assault him. The kid once again fights him off, and finally he gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah, you gotta
go. But reports nothing to the police. He's had two assaults and one attempted rape.
Plus, you implicate all these kids in other shit. You know, like,
because he'd always get them
high. Together,
yeah.
All the weeds around, all the other shits around.
Right,
and he's
right,
just
right.
Being like, you tell anybody about this, and I will tell about all the shit that you did in fucking basement.
That is the ultimate irony and the conundrum of most of. The prison population. I mean, of criminals. If you tend to be doing something kind of illegal yourself, if you see something super illegal go on,
yes,
and the justice system has no
trapped.
Sympathy on you. Exactly.
Yeah, you're totally trapped in the whole thing. He built his own hall of secrets. He did it perfectly. That's what he wanted. He did what H.H. Holmes did,
right.
But he did it with people.
Yeah. And if you could have one person dig a grave and throw some lime salt or whatever on a body, that person can no longer say anything about you.
Yes.
Because they'll go to prison for life.
They'll go to prison. Yeah, exactly. They're done. You're an accomplice.
So after this, he just goes on a bigger killing spree. He killed two kids in one night in October 1976. He starts killing more and more employees. He kills a kid named William Bundy. He kills a kid named Gregory Godzik. And a lot of the reason why he got, like, I was reading about this thing that made a really good point.
Was
about
Ted Bundy known at this point?
Ted Bundy?
Yeah. Because William is all... Ted's are also...
I don't have my phone
this
on
was
me.
Around the same amount... I think this was after Ted Bundy.
I wouldn't be surprised if he killed that Bundy just to kill a Bundy.
No. You don't even think about that. I mean, he's so ashamed to have ever been lumped with Bundy and Manson.
This is at the same time as Bundy.
Okay.
Because Bundy's spree was from 74 to 78.
What a time in America.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk about the fucking, you know, the mental eggs that were dropped by the fucking MK Ultra chicken in 1950 finally coming to roost.
You sound like Jesse Ventura. You saw the accident.
Well, if you want to talk about a fucked up mind, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Gacy said that all of these crimes were committed by Mad Jack.
Yeah,
Jack Hanley.
Jack Hanley, which is the he got those cop credentials from a detective he knew named Detective Jack Hanley, and he would pretend to be Jack Hanley. When he did his cop act, he would tell them that he was Detective Jack Hanley.
Well, he was obsessed with Jack Hanley because Hanley was everything that Gacy was, and he was muscular,
right.
He was confident, and he hated gay people.
Yes.
He was one of those guys that just were like, boy, I hate
who like whacked on dudes with fucking long hair.
Yeah,
right,
you'd
right,
see
right.
like some skinny kid with long hair and he beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, he loved that.
And you got
it. Because it made him hard as the Dickens.
So, and that was the man that the alter ego was based off.
Yes.
Of.
Yeah, it was based on Jack Hanley.
So who's the worst person?
Ooh, Jack Hanley?
Actually
I
worse
would say that John Wayne Gacy is worse.
Is worse.
I think John Wayne Gacy
but,
is the
I mean,
bad
it
one.
It seems like Gacy just saw the things that Jack had.
It was all
his...
lie. No, but that's a lie.
That's all lie.
It's all a lie. All of this, the whole Jack Hanley thing, he said this after the fact, after he'd confessed to fucking 15 different people, after he finally broke down. We'll get to that point. But he this was him trying to save his own ass. This is one of like the 9 different ways he was just like, you know, I'm a schizophrenic. I didn't do it. I only had knowledge of 5 of the murders.
I got type 2 diabetes.
What?
I got type 2 diabetes.
Oh, he had diabetes. There's no way a man with diabetes could ever commit these crimes.
Oh, so
he'd
you hit
pass
me because I'm
out.
Fat? You hit me because I'm fat? Is that it? No, there's 25 children in your
crossbow. Just watch him get killed now, and that's what everybody. If he got caught now, everybody talking about, no, they're being fattest. Boozabel, whatever it is for fat people.
Boozabel is one of my favorite fat websites.
So in 1977, in January, he killed a 19-year-old kid named John Sizek, who was an acquaintance of two of his former victims.
And this is a guy that also provided a great deal of evidence for the police later on, because they found John Sizek's ring in Gacy's desk drawer, and they found his TV.
I thought you were just stopped in Gacy. They found his ring in Gacy.
Inside of Gacy,
yeah. Well, the kid was going to sell Gacy his Plymouth satellite. But Gacy,
beauty,
of course,
beauty.
Now I could just tie a kid up and rape a kid in that car. That is a beaut.
And of course, Gacy did his rope trick on him, strangled him, and buried him. This is the only time that he buried two separate murders together. He buried Sizek with Godzik. He dug up the grave of Godzik, put Sizek on top of him.
He's running out of room.
Well, not only is he running out of room, but they were friends. Like, they've got some sort of connection to each other.
So weird.
So in his mind, they belong in the same grave. In his mind, he was probably thinking that he was doing them a favor.
Yeah, yeah.
That he was being sweet with the boys.
Yes, because these are all his checks and balances. Yeah. Guys like these have checks and balances. They really believe, they're runaways. They're asking for it. They were trying to pull one over me. I got to validate it. He validates it, and then he does other things. So I help the community. Yeah, I do all this charity work. I work for the fucking Democrat Society.
Yeah.
I do all this shit, so I'm allowed to do
anything.
That kid
would have gone out and killed somebody else if I didn't kill him. You know, that kind of. But when he was killing, were these his employees? These two kids?
A shit ton of them was.
Two of those, the two kids, Butkovich and Godzik.
Butkovich? Should have been a linebacker
it's
for
Chicago,
the Bears.
It's Chicago. They're all
Butkovich.
Polish. You know?
Yeah,
like
I know,
these,
I know it.
Yeah,
I'm
they're
from
all,
the area.
Yeah, all Polish kids. Those two had worked for him, but Sizek was just a friend.
And was there any time where any of his employers or employees were like, hey buddy, so where are the coworkers?
I had wondered about that, because there were quite a few employees of his that went missing.
I bet the same time though, we don't know all the stories. I bet you could probably, I could imagine that these are kids that started asking questions and started disappearing.
Right.
And then I imagine that as soon as people started seeing the fucking pattern of like, Gacy's kind of weird. He's obviously weird. He's not, he doesn't hide it well. He thinks he's a fucking maverick, but he's not. And it's like, you're noticing your coworkers aren't showing up for fucking
John
Friday night, fucking bowling night. You know something's going on.
And
you usually get to a point where it's like, you just know that if you say something...
He just started calling his construction company, like, the People's Republic of the John Wayne Gacy of the construction community. And everyone's just like, oh yeah, don't ask questions to Kim Jong Gacy.
You know, when Sizek disappeared, this is once again a failure on the part of the police department, because they had told the parents knew that Sizek was going to Gacy's house to sell him the car.
Isn't this the case you want to solve? If you're a cop, isn't this the case that gets you fucking paid?
They're not
gets you in the papers?
Any of these together, because a lot of these, they don't care. These kids they're the same type of kids. They're the reason
they're 15-year-olds.
The reason why a lot of serial murders get going for the longest time is because they're killing what is known as the less dead.
Yeah.
Like, the people who are dead, they are less dead. A runaway is less dead than, a college girl.
And go back to the Grim... What is it? The Grim Sleeper. Of course, you killed black prostitutes.
Because also just what it looks good and it's fucked up. What looks good on a newspaper. Like, especially Ted Bundy's happening at the same time. You got all these missing co-eds go up. These hot chicks on the front of the newspaper.
Yeah, you have a Spectre situation.
Yeah, it's like people are excited about that. With this, it's construction workers going missing, and it's tied to a guy who's like, I mean, who knows? It's like half a lie and half true how much clout he had, like Gacy had with the state and like being a politician, a friend of a bunch of cops. He's got his hand in 9 different fucking pots. It's hard to catch somebody like that because everybody's willing to keep a secret just to keep the status quo running.
And honestly, nobody wants to think that they know a killer. Because it's sort of poorly on yourself.
On yourself, because you didn't see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you're that person's wife, you didn't see it, or you know he's being weird.
I mean, they
should have
got the fucking hint when Carol slept over on the goddamn New Year's Eve party, and he dipped out to go pick up a boy at a Greyhound station.
Interesting thing about Carol, in winter and autumn of 1977, they started dating again.
You see,
they got back together?
They got back together, and he was temporarily engaged to another woman earlier that year.
Do we know what Carol looked like?
In 1977,
he's got money.
During his fucking worst phase... He was still dating
women. I guarantee he was exceptionally charming and happy.
I don't think he was charming or happy. I don't think so.
I bet you he could turn it on over at Ponderosa Steak
Dinner. This is when Pogo the Clown was at its height.
Yeah, but I don't think...
In the community, he was fucking awesome.
No, but I don't think he was being... I don't think he's charming. I just think he has money. He looks like he could take care of you. If you're a desperate, like, person who has kids, who needs to be... Like, needs someone to come and be the father of your child. Yeah, he's a big fucking asshole. Yeah, he's a big blowhard. But he's got a shit ton of money and he's willing to dump it on me.
Well, keep in mind, though, too, the idea of masculinity in the 70s and certainly in the 80s was being a big, loud,
mouth asshole. But he's not fucking you. He's not fucking you. John Wayne, you're going out on dates with John Wayne Gacy. He's probably kissing
you.
But that's
because he respects you. That's because he respects you so much.
I guess. Does that work?
I think so.
You may tell me. I'd like ladies to tell us the same thing. It's like you would not be able to know if a dude... I guess he could have been the ultimate liar.
Ladies who have dated a gay man, and later you found out he was a gay man, how did he act? Let us know. CaveComedyRadio@gmail.com.
Yeah, and the subject is the ultimate betrayal. Ultimate betrayal. Subject that to Cave Comedy Radio. Love to hear those stories. So, every woman has one.
Oh,
every chick that I know has a story where she dated a gay fella at some
point. Yeah, but you know, it depends on whether or not you kind of half know it, or they're a great liar, or they just like physical contact.
If I have a daughter, I pray to God that her first boyfriend's just a raging homosexual until she's like 25. You know, that's fine with me. No problems there.
On December 30th, 1977, he has what is the first of two assault and releases. These aren't kids that he was trying to fuck up and they somehow got free. These are kids that he abducted, raped, beat, and then released.
Just so strange to me.
There's so many strange things about
him. Because he just doesn't care anymore. Because now he doesn't care anymore. He's, again, and I honestly, I think that what we've known about this man is that it is quite possible that it's all because of the fact that he's running out of room in his crawl space.
It's
and I think he's starting to look at it because he looks at things with a weird sort of practicality.
Yeah, he does.
So I think that when he did, I think it's literally, he's like, well, I'm about to end of my crawl space and I can't be killing all these kids. So I'm just going to rape him and only scare the shit out of him and he'll just disappear.
It also reminds me of that song, The Thrill Is Gone. I feel like he's like done with it. You know, he's like, he did the whole thing, and I feel like
if B.B. King had heard that. I feel like if that sentence got to him.
That's what the song is based off of, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, no?
What, raping and beating a boy and letting him go?
Oh, not all songs are about
that? No.
Oh, I'm just projecting.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I mean, if we're looking at a serial killer escalation here, he did actually start escalating with this because he didn't just strangle him. He raped him. He tortured him with different devices. He dunked his head into the bathtub until the kid passed out, and then he revived him.
Right.
But the kid was in such pain, he asked Gacy, he was like, just get it over with, just kill me. And Gacy said, I'm getting around to it.
So he's got a little Parker Ray thing going on here.
Yeah, and then after that, he just drove the kid back to where he worked, removed the handcuffs, and then released him. The kid goes to the cops, they bring Gacy in, and he said they were having quote, slave sex, but everything was consensual.
And then that just fucking just blew over their heads like they didn't even give a shit.
Yeah, and the police just go, alright.
You're having slave sex with a 16-year-old boy, and you're a fucking full-grown man?
No, the kid was 19.
But exceptionally similar
not illegal.
Right, but exceptionally similar where it was illegal in the Dahmer case Filipino boy. And the cops were like, nah, there was something back in the day where when cops heard of gay sex.
It's boys being boys,
but it's also gay sex. And cops are just like, we don't deal with it.
Yeah.
It was too gross to discuss.
It was like gay sex was its own punishment.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he got tortured enough. That's fine.
So the second one is this kid named Jeffrey Rignall. Gacy gets him into the car. Gacy chloroforms him. He rapes. He tortures him.
What kind of torture was he doing?
Lit candles. Some of the victims were, after they found some of the victims, some of them were found with prescription pill bottles
shoved up their asses.
Yeah, really
weird
stuff.
And these were plastic pill bottles?
Yeah, glass.
Okay, plastic.
So
it makes it better, I think. I mean, really, if it was glass, I mean...
What? No. I mean, it would actually probably be better if it was glass because it'd be smooth.
No, but it didn't break.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to do that. He was just trying to fill it up. Oh, yeah, I'll make it gape.
Talking about diarrhea milkshakes again?
Gape it up.
gape it up.
Absolutely. No, I'm sitting on an orange right now.
Oh, so that's something.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have
one. I'm like a
lunch.
Little chicken. I hope it hatches.
So Gacy dumps this kid after he chloroforms him. He dumps him unconscious. The kid staggers to the apartment, and he goes to the police, and he's only got little bits and pieces of what went on because he's fucking chloroformed.
He was MK Ultra, too.
Yeah. He was absolutely chloroformed, so he had little bits and pieces. He remembered a highway off-ramp, and he remembered the car. So he went back to the highway off-ramp. He staked it out until he saw Gacy driving by in the black Oldsmobile that he remembered from the night.
Yeah.
And he goes to the cops. He says, this is the guy. And the cops do arrest him and finally charge him with assault. Finally. And charges...
This is all sitting around on him. So then he gets released on bail, and he's walking around.
Yeah, and the charges were pending when he was arrested for murder. But Henry, I think what happened next really does lend some credence to what you said, because yes, he was out of room and he did attack and rape these two boys, but to no avail, because this is when he starts dumping bodies in the river.
And that's when he's finally being like, well, because now he's just not getting his rocks off because he's not killing these boys.
Yeah.
So he has to go back to it. So he starts dumping in the river, which is just nuts.
Yeah. He dumps five kids in the river, and Gacy's very last victim. And the reason why Gacy got caught, because he killed someone whose family loved him.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this is what men like Gacy don't understand. It's just like what he was doing. It's just like, it's, you know, you're not the only human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These people are connected to other
humans.
But
Gacy was smart. He did seem... I'm sure that Gacy knew...
All these people had families. Kid had families. The families were looking for him forever. The Butkovich kids. Mm-hmm. The parents were looking for him forever.
No one's listening to Pa Butkovich. No one wants. No one cares. You know?
But,
no families with any power.
Yeah, no families with any power, but this kid, he was rich, you know, he was definitely from a place of power. People were able to, and for the first time, he slipped up because people were able to put the kid with Gacy the night he went missing.
Yep.
The kid's name was Rob Peist.
So he finally abducted and killed the wrong boy.
Exactly. Like, he found a kid the kid was working at a drugstore where Gacy was contracted to do work. Gacy saw him and fell right in love with him.
Oh immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Last my love has come along.
Did you ever notice the butterflies that just showed up in the store? That guy seems to be really smitten over there.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy's talking to a squirrel saying that he's found his perfect boy. You know,
bizarre.
I mean, I don't know, but he says he's going to do all these counters for $75.
So Gacy, he approaches the kid and he tells him, is like, hey, listen, I'd like to offer you a job at my company. You know, like, I think you're the type. I've been watching your work all night
long. You're just the type of tight, big chest, long, blonde haired, just kind of boy that I just want to.
What's your bald? Oh, what's your company all about?
Fuck the company. What did I say? Did I say when you? I want you to work. Yeah, you'll come see. You'll see. Just come on.
He already has a job. This kid.
He already has a job, but
he's a headhunter.
Yeah, but PDM contractor.
He is a go getter. I mean, he is definitely a go getter. What's interesting? I mean, you know, Gacy, he does go out sober and hunt. I mean, Dahmer would only go out after 24 blasts.
That's why I have sympathy for Dahmer, because Dahmer was just fucked for life.
Right.
Where it's like Gacy is a predator.
Right.
He's a true predator. He's the worst type of monster.
Yeah. So he brings Rob Peist back to his home. He's like, you know what? Just come on over to my place. I need you to sign some tax documents. I need you to fill some stuff out. And you know what? And it was Rob Peist's mother's birthday that night. And he said, like, you know what, Gacy? I need to get home. And what did he say, Henry?
Oh, just like, but you know, it's something I love more than my mom. But you know, when it really comes down to it, I just need a new kind of job so I could get that new Jeep I've been wanting.
Oh my
God!
It's
like, you know, it's gonna take some money. I bet the extra $3 an hour is gonna be just the type of thing to help you get your Jeep.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of sold. I'll take the job too.
You know what? What better birthday present to your mother than to come home with
brand new job.
So Gacy gets the kid into the house. He offers him a beer, and then of course
one thing leads to another
naturally.
And what that led to was the rope trick. The rope trick came out, and Gacy strangles the kid to death. And the next day, of course, you know, this kid came from a very close knit family. It wasn't like him to stay out late, especially on his mother's birthday.
Yeah, poor mother, by the way.
Oh God,
that's awful. That's awful news to find out on your birthday.
Terrible news. So the boy
it's the worst.
So the investigation.
He got a job shining harps in in heaven.
Oh, well, now I feel better.
Well, I guess I don't need that Jeep at all anymore, Beethoven.
Thank you, John.
What was that? I can't hear anything. Tell me, am I playing the piano?
Beethoven in heaven is really just as crazy as Beethoven was on Earth. Weird.
I hope I'm making good music.
Beethoven is the last time they let gays in heaven. They're like, no, Jesus. After that Beethoven guy came in.
Tell me, young Roberts, did I fart?
Yeah, you did. Heaven smells like hell right now. Thank you.
I felt a bit of a vibration in my buttocks, but right. I didn't hear anything.
Only Americans in heaven from now on, okay?
The investigation against John Wayne Gacy begins on December 13th. They get a search warrant for his house. They find a 1975 high school class ring engraved with the initials JAS, various driver's licenses, handcuffs, a 2x4 with holes drilled in the ends, which the 2x4, by the way, he was inspired by Dean Corll, the Houston serial killer.
Absolutely.
Who killed 28 kids
and by
between
this point,
70 and 74.
Also, the cops are all over his fucking ass now because kids are disappearing. Cram came forward and was talking to the police. They're starting to put things to like two and two together.
Finally.
Once Robert starts going, like once Robert goes missing, they know that he was the last, that Gacy was the last one to see him.
Well, the most damning evidence they found with that is they found a receipt in Gacy's garbage.
Well, we find out because
a receipt for photography from a girl that he liked.
Yes.
From Peist's girl.
Like, they talked to this guy. They found a receipt. They went and, they had a different name on it. And they went and found the girl. And she said that she liked Robert. And she thought if she put the receipt in his parka, that would give him a reason to talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they knew for a fact, like, he was there.
And so Peist is actually the only person, the only victim so far. That I see as an actual human in a weird way because he has a girl who loves him,
a mother who celebrated her birthday, but I think the cops kind of felt a similar way. A lot of these people did. It was just the fact that this was the first one that it finally dawned on people. It just finally happened. It finally cracked open.
Right.
And like now he's getting the tail. Cops are tailing him every day in a 24-hour surveillance.
Which this is the height. Of Gacy's arrogance, power.
He just starts hanging out with them. They start coming over and hang out in his place. He starts taking them out to dinner. Like, just basically because it's more self-delusion. It's more like being like, oh, you know, I can friend my way out of this. I can glad hand my way out of this. You know, they can come out. We'll have some dinner and some beers and some drinks, and they'll understand it's all big hullabaloo out there.
I mean, again, I do believe that he was very charming.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he was charming at these events.
He was loud and threw his money around. I think that that's just Wisconsin charm.
I mean, 1977 Wisconsin charm is a tan suit, throwing your money around and being loud.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is it. That's all you need to do.
He brought, on one occasion, he brought the surveillance team to breakfast for him, and this is when Gacy uttered his famous line. He's talking about his business, and he starts talking about Pogo the Clown, and this is when he says the famous line, clowns can get away with murder.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, hey, you'd be surprised we didn't get away with as a clown. You know, a clown could probably get away with murder.
Interesting.
Well, so basically, so this kind of boils down to, so John Wayne Gacy starts losing it. It starts to really take a toll on him.
How old is he here?
35, I think.
So this is about, so we're looking at a 5-year span?
He's been doing this about 5 years.
Okay.
And so he finally shows up. He gets his, which we read from a Defending a Monster by Sam Amirante, his defense attorney. He just shows up one night in the middle of the night, like legitimately, because now he's being followed everywhere by police surveillance. His DA is trying to, like, do whatever he can to file a
affidavit?
They're trying to find a what actually got them the search warrant finally was when it was in another act of arrogance. He invited the surveillance guys to come in, and they
smelled the house.
Well, one of the guys, what he did is he went and he took a piss and he flushed the toilet, and he just he's a homicide detective. He's like, that's a dead body.
That's a dead body.
Dead body. And so finally on that, they finally were able to get the search warrant.
And
the
DA was trying to set up a, I just lost it again. They got a restraining order against the police for him, and then Gacy shows up in the middle of the night. They're supposed to have some dumb meeting that he set up to have with them, because now that he has a defense attorney, he never shuts up. Only John Wayne Gacy is calling all day, every day, talking about the case, like dealing with it. And
with his defense attorney.
With his defense attorney, he shows up with these...
The defense attorney equated himself with John Adams.
Yes.
Well, by the way, it should be noted that this was this defense attorney's first case in private practice.
Yes.
He'd been a public defender for that before that, but this was his very first case.
Very first case. And so... Gacy shows up. He leaves the surveillance crew in the lobby because they can come into your lawyer's like office with you because there's like the whatever that is.
The attorney-client
privilege.
Yeah. So, he comes in here. He's like he slaps the newspaper down the thing. He points to the picture of Rob Peace. He's like, "This boy is dead. He's dead. That isn't the boy from the drugstore, but this boy is dead. He's in the river." And it turns into an all-night confession session where he tells...
With his defense attorney.
Yeah, he's like, "I have been the judge, jury, and executioner of many, many people. And I'm going to be my own judge, jury, and executioner."
Right.
And he started doing this whole thing about how they have to let him do it his way.
Oh, fuck Judge Judy, by the way.
Oh,
John Wayne Gacy. Judge John Wayne Gacy's court. That's what I want to see. So you tell me he stole your lawnmower, but you had it for 7 months. That's your lawnmower now.
It's your lawnmower. Now, welcome, Judge Gacy.
Gacy!
And so he then proceeds, he spills his guts, tells him everything. They're just looking at him. He then passes, he's so hammered, because he shows up, he's so drunk. They're going out to do individual business, so there's two partners, the two DAs. One leaves, left alone with John Wayne Gacy, who's passed out on top of himself in a chair. And he said he watched John Gacy stand up, raise his arms up like Frankenstein in the middle of sleep. He's obviously asleep.
Walking
around the room like Frankenstein's monster. He starts walking around the room like Frankenstein's monster in a sleepwalk pose.
Yeah.
And then goes back to sleep.
Yeah.
That's got a very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very strange stuff indeed.
He then leaves there and goes to proceed. Tells everybody he knows that he's killed a bunch of people.
Right. Yeah, going from friend to friend and he's telling them, I killed 30 some odd people, crying, hugging everyone.
They're going to kill me. These guys are going to kill me.
Right.
And then he gave a buddy a bag of joints. He had a bag of joints of his own stash. He gave it to his buddy.
Do you smoke them? That's the question. No. If John Wayne Gacy gives you a bag of joints, I would smoke one.
You know it's strong.
It has to be strong. Strong enough to allow
knock
your
out
brain.
A boy? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the kid immediately took them to the surveillance tail.
That was watching him.
Right.
The cop car that was watching him. And this is when Gacy starts getting really erratic. He's driving around with his rosary up to his chin. He's heading out to a graveyard. The police think that
His dad.
Yeah, to see his dad. They think that, Gacy's going to kill himself. So they end up arresting him on the marijuana charge. They arrest him for dispensing marijuana.
They're like, fucking get him in jail.
What about the fact that his whole house smelled like a corpse?
Well, this is what they did not it's get the not real enough. Search warrant yet.
It could be. No, at this time, they were in the middle of getting the search warrant.
They just didn't have it yet.
Yeah, they didn't have it yet. And
you gotta wake up the judge.
They can't arrest him because, it could be erratic. Could be a dog.
God, it is a different time. He could just be having a psychological break and talking out of his ass. But then you watch him. Finally, you're like, all right, well, he had a shit ton of weed. We can arrest him on that. Let's just put him in a cooler. And then when they showed up in jail, he met up with Sam Amarante. Sam Amarante met him in the jail cell. And then Gacy turns to him being like, I gotta get out of here. I can fake a heart attack, right? I can fake a heart attack to get out of here. And he's like, what? And then John he literally hits the ground, starts seizuring. They took him to a hospital. He got himself out of jail again. Yeah. He lied again and got himself out.
Right. Similar to how Bundy got himself out of there.
These guys are so good.
Yeah, they're just good in different ways.
Master manipulators.
I do want to see Amarante walking through the jail with Superfly music playing. he's got the huge fuzzy bear hat on and shit. He's the coolest guy around.
I'm here to see JWG. What's going on, baby?
Yeah, baby. Oh, you can fake a heart attack, baby? Oh, yeah. Let me see you, freak.
That's a freak. Oh, they're my jail.
I love the hospital. Just slamming fucking jello.
They get the search warrant is in effect while Gacy is in prison. The first thing they do is go straight down to the crawl space. Within minutes, they just found putrefied remains.
Because flooded it with water, too.
Well, he flooded it with water first. He just turned off his sump pump and thinking, that'll get him. And then they get there and they're like,
turn on the sump pump.
Just turn on the sump pump. And
right.
within minutes, they found an arm. And I love this. I love this image. Is that the guy that was down there, the investigator, he found the arm and he turned around and he goes, charge him!
Yeah.
That's a great moment for a detective.
Absolutely. And John charge Wayne Gacy, him. And so then John Wayne Gacy, Gacy, thank God, never saw the light of day again.
Right. No.
He stayed in jail.
He did not have a good jail experience either.
I don't know.
He was great in jail. He got to paint the entire time.
And then he did actually become very religious and actually got to teach.
He was always technically religious.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So they found all the bodies. They found the 25 in the crawl space. They finally arrested it.
Yeah. 25 in the crawl space. One in the garage. One out near the barbecue pit. Where, by the way,
two in the revolver.
I mean, then they found out a bunch of those bones were just, you know, rib bones from a rib roast.
Right, right, which is confusing.
Yeah.
And this is amazing. Think about this for a second, is that John Gacy was known for his parties.
Right.
This guy was out at his barbecue all the time, so all these people that kept
dancing
on top of
a graveyard.
Yeah, they were dancing on a graveyard.
Well, I don't know what it is about that Mr. Gacy's house, but I could just really move in there. I feel like I can ride my feet move quicker.
So, like, the second half of Defending a Monster is basically you just, like, watch, like, Sam Amarante just be a total fucking piece of shit.
Well,
doing everything he can to, like, because he's trying to say that, you know, that first John Wayne Gacy is insane because he said he was, like, he had multiple personality.
Right.
And then they were like, no, that's fucking horseshit. That's not true. And then they tried to do so much different stuff trying to throw out the case.
One of the things that he tried is that he said that, you know, it's possible that all of these murders were accidental erotic asphyxiation.
Oh, yeah, they tried to
maybe,
do the whole thing.
Just maybe 33 accidents.
All those 14-year-old boys who just love that David Carradine adult sex.
They love to choke themselves until they come.
Totally into
it.
Yeah,
all of them do.
They're not just coming immediately if they see a tit. No. They need the hardcore stuff.
No. And so the trial goes on, and it goes on for a while. Like, it's a long trial.
Yeah.
And the defense attorney, in his closing arguments, this is so dramatic, is that he goes through all of the victims. He has a big poster board up there, and he starts naming all the victims. And then he grabs a stack of photos of all the known victims, and they've got the door to John Wayne Gacy's crawl space in the courtroom as evidence.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
What a jury to be on. Holy Christ.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then Kunkel, he looked at the jury and he says...
Kunkel. Yeah, yeah, Kunkel. Yeah, it was the prosecuting attorney. His name was Kunkel.
Kunkel?
Kunkel.
Kunkel never won a case before.
Well, this was Kunkel's lucky day.
Yeah, if Kunkel can't win this case, he's just fired.
And so he turns to the jury. He's got a stack of photographs in his hand. And he said, I ask you, jury, to show the same sympathy this man showed when he took these lives and put them in there and threw the photos at the crawl.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God! Bravo, bro! The first prosecutor getting roses thrown at him and shit.
It took less.
New York Times was there to review
it.
One of the best.
Sam Amarante stand up, and it was like, maybe he didn't do it.
But have you thought about that? Is that a door or is that a window? That's a door, sir.
And it took less than 2 hours for the jury to go and find John Wayne Gacy guilty on 33 charges of murder,
and they wanted to give him 33 injections too. They were like, that was like one of the
too long.
What?
Less than 2 hours is too long.
4 minutes per charge.
That's right.
Yeah,
guilty. Innocent on that one, because I do think that boy won.
Yeah, because
I don't know what it was.
Each one, because it wasn't just murder, it was also aggravated sexual assault.
How many counts did they hit him with total?
33 charges of murder. He was also found guilty of sexual assault and taking indecent liberties with a child.
Which
that was
also
both
was
in reference
30.
To Robert
Peace. They were probably, each one is also, yeah.
So you have to hear, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, it comes to sentencing, and once again, it takes less than 2 hours for them to decide to put his ass to death.
And so then he began his grandstanding from jail. He did countless interviews. We've played chunks of them before.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
He said that he had some knowledge of five of the murders.
By the end, he was totally denying everything.
Yeah.
And then his final words were, kiss my ass.
Yeah, he said that 28 of the bodies have been committed, 28 of the murders have been committed by employees who were in possession of keys to his house. He said, this is a quote, perhaps my biggest crime was running a cemetery without a license.
Oh, that's a great joke.
It's a great joke. He still had his sense of humor even till the end.
He should enjoy himself.
Of course, in America, when you get sentenced to death, you can really play that out for quite a while.
He did it for 15 years.
15 years in prison, so he died at 50 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, of course, this is when he became a painter.
Right.
His painting sold from anywhere between $200 to $20,000.
And he got no profit off of this, though. No, he just went to the victims?
No, he got the money went to him.
Is this what led to the law then that made it illegal?
That's why they burnt all his paintings when he was dying. When they put him into the death penalty, people would buy the paintings and burn them.
Well, I know it's illegal now for a prisoner to make profit off their crimes.
Yeah, so he claimed his artwork was intended, quote, to bring joy into people's lives.
I mean, I want one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I really want one, too.
I want one so bad.
Is my prized possession. That's what I want so bad. I want a pogo. I want a real one. If you got one, you get a line on one, let us know. If you got anybody that's making a sale of them, I want it.
You want them.
Prices range anywhere from $195 for a painting of a bird to $9,500 for a painting depicting the seven dwarfs playing baseball against the Chicago Cubs.
You know, and of course they beat the fucking Cubs. Of course. The Cubbies always suck, losing to the dwarves.
That's sad. And the baseball painting.
There's only nine of them.
The baseball painting was able to get autographed by a lot of Hall of Famers. That's Hall of Famers had no idea.
Sammy Sosa had no idea what he was signing.
All they knew is that this is a cute picture of the Seven Dwarfs playing baseball against the Cubs.
Isn't that something? Is that wrong? Is that wrong to want a painting from John Wayne Gacy?
That's very wrong.
But it's just such a morbid piece of history. I just want it so fucking bad.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's weird. I'll have to figure that out on my own.
Yeah. That's a thing that I'll just bring to a therapist.
Yeah, exactly. and so he's sentenced to death. And do we want to talk about his prison life?
We've covered his prison life. You know, he just spent the whole time doing interviews. He had a couple of dalliances with women, just like any famous serial killer.
Some conjugal visits there?
I mean, no, he never actually had a conjugal visit.
You can't have conjugal visit on death row.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unless you're married.
Oh.
Yeah, which is how Ted Bundy was able to get the conjugal visit with his wife.
Because he had to rape somebody.
Yeah, he really did. He really had to pass that Bundy seed on.
Oh, yeah. What a lucky seed it was. That's
and there are two. There are two Bundy. Two of Bundy's children are out there.
I believe they're both
girls, not Bundy. Gacy. Two of Gacy's children are still out there. Oh, okay. He had two daughters with his first wife.
You know that. There's no way they're attractive, right?
Ted Bundy's daughter is probably very attractive.
But Gacy's daughters.
I mean, you know.
If Gacy's daughters ever want to come forward and talk to last podcast,
after we just called them fucking pigs?
Yeah. I think Gacy's daughter actually did very well. She was on the Drew Carey show. Mimi Bobek? Mimi Bobek?
Kissel.
I think so. Woo! I'm on fire.
Yeah. To the ground. It's a roast out there.
Get out of town. Leave the town.
Gacy,
this guy
every time. He's just raping girls. Gacy raped boys. Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah, as Henry said, his last words were, kiss my ass. And in the strangest outcome, this is fascinating to me, the strangest outcome of the entire set of Gacy murders is that it led to the creation of the Amber Alert system.
Yes, really interesting, because it used to be a 72-hour mandatory waiting period upon starting a missing persons report for a child.
Which is
and
totally
Sam Amorante did it.
Yeah, himself.
Sam Amorante made it real.
He did something.
Sam never worked again. But he did create the Amber Alert system.
He's still a very successful law practice.
Oh, is he successful?
He's a judge now.
He is?
I think
well,
so.
He's a retired judge. He became a judge.
Oh, yeah. I thought that his career was completely ruined after representing John Wayne
Because
Gacy.
He did that. Because he made the Amber Alert system.
He kind of redeemed what he was doing.
In the end, he's a piece of shit, obviously, but he was doing a job. Everyone deserves representation.
I was talking to our friends.
I don't think he's that bad of a person.
No, he's just a piece of shit writer.
Yeah. He's just a very arrogant, but I think that I think people like Sam Amorante are very necessary to the American judicial system.
I did talk to our friend Cena. He was on Top Hat there, the lawyer friend of ours, and he was saying that perhaps he used it as a tool to kind of set a precedent to get rid of like this. Like he threw all these defenses out in defense of John Wayne Gacy so that then they can not be used so powerfully with other people who are obviously sociopaths.
It's also interesting. He's saying it's all from a defense attorney's standing point. It's an incredibly interesting case to take because you can throw anything at it. Yeah, you can go through the most obscure, weird fucking rules and ideas in like legal precedents and you can make something right. interesting happens.
Well, so, he was thrown into this whole thing because at the beginning of the trial, how he first got involved in this is the first thing that like Gacy called him up and he says, Sam, I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah,
right.
Because at this point, Gacy, all he wanted was the cops off his back. He was putting an injunction against the cops.
Inconvenienced by cops. Right.
Yeah, he's like, because yeah. they had confiscated his Oldsmobile. You know, he was driving his old shitty PMC truck. And so that was the only thing. So Gacy was being retained, or Amarante was being retained by Gacy at the time of the murder. And Amarante says that if he hadn't already been retained, he wouldn't have taken
the
case.
He probably wouldn't have taken the case.
He's like, I probably wouldn't have done this because he knew. Like, it's funny. It's like he said, yeah. It's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I knew my life was going to be a living hell, but. You know, I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's limelight.
That's
yeah.
what I love about Amarante is that he is a prick. Hog. He's a prick, but he is at least an admitted prick.
Yes.
He's I know. He's so, like, I know I'm kind of a bad person.
This was
but.
So oh, go yeah. out there, read the book, read Defending a Monster. It's a really interesting take on the serial killer genre. It is this. I love this fucking story. John Wayne Gacy is the ultimate killer.
It's fascinating. Don't get into a car with anyone who offers you a joint.
Just don't, you know.
If you're a kid, if you're one of our younger listeners.
Uniform. Look at the whole, I want the whole uniform. See the whole uniform. Look at his badge. Look for serial numbers on the badge.
And just, did you do anything wrong?
You know?
Because if you didn't, then you don't.
Don't get into a cop's car.
If we have some younger listeners out there, and so be aware, be alert, and no, don't get into a car with anyone who offers you anything.
You're just going to be an ash treasure for a murderer.
That's so, it's not good. It's not good. And ladies, if you can't go into all the rooms of her house, divorce your husband.
You got to marry, yeah, exactly. If you can't go into the bedroom, it is a bad, yeah, you're.
It's bad. He's jacking off to a bunch of gay porn. He's gay. Let him go. Let him loose.
And, so we just want to end here on some,
But they did lethally inject him.
They did lethally inject him
in 1994.
Did they do the 33?
No, although his execution was painful. They fucked it up the first time.
Yeah, it got solid inside of him.
Yeah, it got real solid, and it was a very painful death for him.
It got solid inside of him?
Yeah, the prison didn't know what they were fucking doing. And
Gacy's just like, I can just do this myself. I know exactly how to kill, okay? Can I just kill myself, please?
And in fact, based on that, on the experience with Gacy, there was a complete overhaul of the death penalty system in Illinois.
So there was some positive things.
A lot of shit came out of this, and it's an incredibly compelling story. It's the perfect example of American fucking psychopathological behavior.
Yeah. Yep.
He's nuts. So before we also leave, I just wanted to plug something real quick. If you are in the Chicago area, we got a lot of friends living in the Midwest, a lot of people who listen to the show, come see Murder Fist at the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival on January 10th and 11th at 11 p.m. at Stage 773. If you want to come see me and the fucking Lizard and Big Fat Ed and Jackie do some stuff in Chicago, that's the time to see it.
And I'll tell you, you have to go see Murder Fist because they're the greatest sketch group ever. It's a full interactive experience and it's absolutely hilarious.
You have to see him. Have to fucking
You'll be covered in blood if you do it right.
You will like it.
Yes, you will enjoy it.
Join the Facebook page.
Are you falling asleep? All right, Henry's hung
over. I'm dying.
All right, we got to end it.
So we're going to end on to John Wayne Gacy singing in his beautiful tenor for the prison Christmas choir.
This is truly John Wayne Gacy singing in a prison Christmas choir while he was doing time for his original sodomy charge.
Some people form a ragtag team, a football team in prison.
No, he's singing songs. He's like an acapella group. It's like Glee in there.
Yeah.
Negustilations.
Hail yourselves, everybody. Happy 2014. We're going to have a great year.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein. Oh, and go see Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, of course.
It's good. It's really
amazing.
Good.
It's great.
And in Gacy's head, he's just like, me!